You're going to open your Bibles tonight to 1 Kings, and we're going to be looking at 1 Kings chapter 3 for a portion of our lesson this evening. 1 Kings chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verse 1 down to verse 15, and then we will look at some more verses there in 1 Kings 3 after this. But we want to begin off talking tonight, as we're continuing our series of lessons looking at prayer. We want to talk about this prayer for wisdom. Because there are many things. As we look at the subject of prayer, we talked this morning about the examples of prayer. And here's one of these certain circumstances where we look at a prayer and we ask for certain things in our life. And here in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1 down to verse 15, is we're going to look at what Solomon had asked God for. Because there are many things in this life that we pray for. Again, we talked this morning about how we express our thanks to God for both spiritual and physical needs, because God has truly blessed each and every one of us in this life. However, again, as we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, that we are to continue in prayer, to pray without ceasing. Now, keep your thumb marked here in 1 Kings, but I just want to look at 1 John chapter 5, looking towards the end of the New Testament, just briefly. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 in particular. Because there are things that we can be able to go to God, and we can ask God. We have confidence in things that we can be able to receive from God. And 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. We read here, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We go to God in prayer. We ask God for different things. We can have the confidence in knowing that if we ask anything according to His will, He does in fact hear us. And we can build our relationship with God. We can strengthen our trust, our faith, and our obedience in understanding this, in knowing the true power that we have in prayer. After all, when we talk about our relationship with God, it is based on faith. And we go to God in prayer, and we can put our faith in Him that He does hear us. We read in Hebrews 11, verse 6, that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We need a strong relationship, and that does require faith and putting our trust and our confidence in God, in what we ask according to His will as well, knowing that He does, in fact, hear us. Because if we think about this, we need wisdom in this life. You know, it's one thing to have knowledge, but it's another thing to have wisdom. Talk about wisdom is the next step after knowledge, is that we take the knowledge that has been given to us and we further apply it to our life. So we ask God for knowledge. We ask God for wisdom, that we might be able to take His knowledge and apply it to our life. And let's consider for a few moments tonight, looking at this prayer that Solomon has in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1 down to verse 15. So let's go ahead and read that. 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. It says, Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. Then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house. And the house of the Lord, and the wall all around Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the people sacrificed at the high places, because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask, What shall I give you? Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me your servant king instead of my father David. But I'm a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream, and he had come to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. You know, as we think about this prayer for wisdom, we think about Solomon. Solomon is a young king. His father had died, David. And Solomon is this young king, not knowing, you know, as he is explaining to God, I don't know how to be able to come in or come out as king. I'm inexperienced. I'm new at this role. Indeed, you have blessed your servant. You have blessed me. You know, his father no longer around due to his past. He can't look to his father to be able to help and guide him and being able to walk and rule in a way to be able to looking over God's people. And he's in a tough spot. And he needs help. And he realized, he comes to this realization that I indeed need help. You know, when you think about it, if you're a young person and could ask for anything you want, what would it be? You know, you can ask your kids. You know, I've been asked that question before. I've probably asked my kids that question. You've probably been asked that question before. What would, if you could have anything in the world, what would it be? I know sometimes when we look back, later in our later years, we kind of get wise to this type of question. But as a young kid, fame, you want to be well known. You know, we see all the different individuals that are well known, and, you know, whether it's political or sports or whatever it might be, any type of situation, people that are young, aspiring entrepreneurs, people that, you know, we want that fame. We want to be recognized. When we walk into a building, we want to be like, hey, there's Daniel over there. Look at what, remember what he's done. Look how successful he's been. How about fortune? Yes, a child that, a younger person that, what do they say? Well, I want money. I want to be able to take care of myself. Some people say, well, I want to be able to take care of myself and future generations to come. Some people say, well, I want to be able to live forever. What would you ask for? Young person, a person of youth, what could you, if it could be anything you want, what would it be? Because as we look at what happens with Solomon, Solomon, in his immature age, shows a great sense of maturity in his decision. I say all, but in his decision at this point in his life, he goes and asks God for help. First of all, we look, you know, again, he is speaking to God. How do we go to God? How do we speak to God? Well, we can be honest. We go to prayer. We go to God in prayer. For us, Jesus is making intercession for you and I today. Solomon, he goes to God and asks God for help. He shows humility in his request to God. He said, I can't do this on my own. I do not know everything. I do not know very much. Again, come in, go out. I need to be able to help because I am now king of the people. Your people in particular. And he asked God for his wisdom. I want wisdom, but I want wisdom from you to discern justice upon your people. To properly judge your people. I need your wisdom to be able to do this. Now, as we look at all this going on, God shows how pleased he is with Solomon and with his choices. He recognized, you know, you could have asked, okay, you could have asked for anything. You could have asked for the fame, fortune, good health. You could have asked for anything in this life. But what you have chosen something that is indeed good. You have chosen something to be able to discern that you have asked something from me. And I appreciate it. I love what you have asked. I'm going to give you your wisdom. I'm going to give you that wisdom to be able to discern justice, to be able to be righteous in judging my people. But also with this, I'm going to bless you. Because you have asked for this thing, I'm going to be able to give you the physical blessings that you need. That way, when everybody knows that you are king, nobody's going to be a king like you. Have anything like what you have. How I'm going to bless you. And also, I will lengthen your days. Again, we've been talking on Wednesday night in the Old Testament about how man was to be living on the earth 120 years, no more, after the days of Noah. And we talk about what we see. You know, sometimes we see some of those different things where it increases or it goes less. Solomon, so I'm going to, because you've asked these things, you're going to be lengthened and you're going to live here. You're going to be prosperous on the earth. This wisdom that we get, that he receives from God, it gets put right into action, right into play. Because right after what we see here, we see that justice, that discerning of justice, take effect. If you look at verse 16 of 1 Kings chapter 3. And we'll look down to the rest, to the end of the chapter. It says, now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, oh my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth, and we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was, dead. And when I had examined him in the morning, indeed he was not my son whom I had borne. The other woman said, no, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. And the first one said, no, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son. And thus they spoke before the king. And the king said, the one says, this is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other one says, no, but your son is a dead one, and my son is a living one. The king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. The woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son, and she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him. But the other woman said, Let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. So the king answered and said, Give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered. And they feared the king, for they saw the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. You get the two women. They both have babies, one, 3 days apart from each other. Both are living together. They're harlots. They are pregnant. They both have babies. And all of a sudden we see, we both had our children, and then one night I woke up. One says, I woke up, and my child, when I went to nurse him, was dead. But then when I look at him, he's not mine. And we can be able to tell differences in our children. A lot of babies look alike now. In one case, I know where one baby did not look the same as the others, and that was me, being born almost 11 pounds and 24 inches long. Couldn't tell the difference. You couldn't tell the difference whenever I was around the rest of the babies at the time. But anyway, as we look at this, here's these two women. They're saying, well, this is my son. My son's a living one. And they keep on going back and forth at each other, making their plea, making their case known to Solomon. The one that has her child, that she tries to come up with that cover-up plan. I'm going to play the switcheroo and see if that works out. But both are accusing that the living child was theirs. Or accuse the other one that the living child was theirs. Solomon, as we look at this, at this point, again, as we notice, he's been given the wisdom of God. Best wisdom man can have. The knowledge that God has supplied, be able to apply it to our life and put it into practice. Again, wisdom. He uses this wisdom and comes up with we look at that, it's kind of barbaric, but it's also a brilliant plan. Give me a sword. Take the child, and again, we look at this, take this child, divide the child in half, so both can have the child. They're both complaining about the living child. So here it is, both of them can have at least part of the living child. Now, as we know, that's not going to be the case. When they divide that child into two, that it would not, the child would not be living anymore. But then we see the two different responses with all this. The first one says, I want what is best for the child, and that is for the child to live. I understand that it might mean that I'm going to, if it's indeed my child, I'm going to lose my child, and I do not want the child to die. So have someone else take care of that child, even though I don't want that to happen. But then the other one, I want that child to die. That way, this woman can feel my pain of losing my child. Again, what Solomon was doing there, showing a little bit of brilliance in his plan, in his way of being able to discern judgment on this matter, is get a response. And the first one that says, I want my child to live, she's emotional about it. She doesn't want anything to happen. And she says that out loud, and so there's the mother of the child right there. I mean, we can look and see both the responses to this. It's pretty cut and dry in this judgment. With these two responses that was given, it was obvious. Solomon even knew the answer to this. Give the one that has wanted the child to live back to his true mother. Again, he has asked for this wisdom from God. We see it go into play. And we look at Solomon, and a lot of people will say, well, Solomon was a very wise king, and he's also offered us some of that wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Seeing that wisdom that God gives, and he applies it, and trying to get us and shares that knowledge, that in the practical wisdom, into our life as well. We can see that he was indeed a different king than most. And we see that put into practice in this scenario, in this case. And the people saw that. The people saw it and they feared. They respected him. They feared him because he was able to have this wisdom, God, to be able to render and administer justice. So the question I want to look at just briefly, kind of applying this to my life, to your life. What about me? How does this lesson apply to me? And how does it apply to our series of lessons looking at prayer? Well, I want you to think about this. Open your heart to God. We can have confidence in God that if we ask things according to His will, He hears. We can be able to open our heart to God, open our heart to His ways. Pray for blessings to fall upon each one of us. Pray for wisdom. And also pray for the ability to understand. Pray for help. If you need someone to help you or guide you. And we look at Saul of Tarsus, we were talking last week. A man that needed help and guidance. He was praying to God, looking for this man that was named Ananias coming to him. We can be able to pray and open our heart to God to be able to help and guide someone else and even ourselves as well in this life. We can pray for a heart of obedience. You know, we look at what Solomon has shared. I want to share some of this in our lesson tonight. If you go in the Old Testament over to the book of Proverbs, is what Solomon shares some of that wisdom that he had received from God. Let's look over in Proverbs chapter 1. And we can be able to pray that our ears might be open. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. You know, again, we see we can be able to pray for our ears to be open. Pray for open ears. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. But again, also, a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Will seek wisdom in a proper sense. What we need to not do is not despise this wisdom. If you go down to verse 7 of this same chapter, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord, the respect of God, as we look at this, is the beginning of knowledge. We fear God. We respect God. We respect His ways. It is the beginning of our knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The beginning of our relationship with God based upon faith. Faith is understanding and taking this knowledge that God has for us. To be able to have wisdom in our life, we've got to be able to take knowledge and knowledge from God. The Lord has blessed us with the Word. If you go over to chapter 2 of Proverbs and look at verse 5 down to verse 7. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5 down to verse 7. So then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk upright. Again, we see how God has blessed us, has offered us protection through His Word. Again, we look at this and point out that God, you will understand the fear of God and find this knowledge. Again, God is giving us wisdom from His mouth, from what He has spoken to us through the law and the prophets, through Jesus Christ, through the apostles. He has spoken this word to us that we might be able to find the knowledge of God. And He is a shield. He is a protector for us. He has given us the word. And we can be able to take it. And we can be able to pray to God in how He has blessed us with the Word. And thank God for that. Again, we can also understand we can pray with the Spirit. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. And I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. And I will also sing with understanding. We can pray with the Spirit. Praying with understanding is what Paul says here. That way we may know. And have those open ears and open hearts to His Word. And God gives us those blessings abundantly. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Psalms. Go back to the Old Testament, Psalm 19. And look at verse 7 down to verse 10. Psalm 19, verse 7 down to verse 10. Psalm 19, beginning with verse 7, looking down to verse 10. Psalm 19, beginning verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. This is what our desire should be. We should be able to desire the things of God that He has supplied us abundantly with. They're more valuable than gold, more precious than gold. Those words that are sweet to our mouth, sweet to our heart. These things are to be put into our life, but we can be able to pray to God and ask God for these things, just as Solomon asked for these things also. We should pray to God to get the benefits of the Word of God. And again, how precious it is, and precious it is to our soul for a home with God. We look at verse 11 of this same psalm. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. If we will keep God's Word close to our heart, there is great reward in the end, and that end is eternal life. If we will take that knowledge that He has given to us and apply it to our life, we can have that hope and promise of eternal life. If there's anyone that needs to answer the invitation call tonight, we'll be glad to assist you, be glad to help you. Maybe you're praying for wisdom in your life, you're praying for that knowledge that God can supply us with, and you're ready and you understand what you need to do. And you need to have your sins washed in the waters of baptism tonight. We'll be glad to assist you and help you in that matter. Maybe tonight you realize that you are living in sin and you need to come back to the fold of God. We'll be glad to help you. We'll be glad to pray for you. We'll be glad to help you in any way. To be able to help you repent and be able to turn from sin. Be able to help and guide you according to what God's Word has been given. If you're here tonight and maybe need prayers of encouragement, we'll be glad to assist you. If you're asking for God, we can have confidence in knowing that if we ask according to God's will, He will hear us. And if you need any help, need any prayers, we'd be glad to assist you and be glad to pray for you. All you have to do is let me know how we can assist you. Have a seat on the front. If you do it now, walk together while we stand and while we sing. I am